This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's a shot pass first. Way down the line. That'll bring in another run. Troy is in to score. Garcia digging for third. Here's the long, long throw and the tag. And he is out at third. Mookie Betts guns him down. A long distance heave to nail him at third base.
Obviously, he hit it down the line, and you know, I was trying to get to it quick to keep him from going to third. And then when it ricocheted off the wall, I think he decided to go, and that's when I just did all I could to get it there, and that's pretty much all I got.
I mean, never seen a throw from that far, right on the money. It was a good one.
I don't know if you saw this last night in the Red Sox game last night, but a lot of you have probably seen the highlight by now. And in fact, it was the sixth inning last night. The Red Sox lost the game. Not that anybody cares. 7-4 to the Tampa Bay Rays at Tropicana Field. And I think it was Avisail Garcia hit a ball into the right field corner. Mookie Betts went in there to get it. Fielded the ball in a ricochet off the wall. Was standing on the warning track in the right field corner. Standing on the warning track. Murray, did you see this play?
Yeah, neat. What was the final score? I get it. It was a nice throw, but like that people were that geeked about this. Like, give me a break.
Work with me, Murray.
It's all just right. I know.
It's just a vehicle. Yeah. Okay, the play itself is just a vehicle. Jimmy Stewart, did you see the play?
I saw the highlight this morning.
Okay, so again, I didn't watch your game last night either. I couldn't.
It was a hose. It was Ichiro-esque.
So it was. You remember the throws we were talking about earlier in the year? What was the guy's name in Oakland? Ramon Mariano?
Yeah, the center fielder. Yeah.
Okay, I think his first name is Ramon. I might be getting that wrong. But in any case, this guy was chucking the ball all over the place. And there was a throw a couple of years ago where, many years ago, where Cespedes was on like the left field warning track in New York and doubled off a guy at first base or threw him out at the plate. Bo Jackson from the warning track. All these ridiculous throws that stick out in people's memories. I'm wondering if the one we saw last night from Mookie Betts was his farewell highlight as a member of the Red Sox. That's what I'm wondering. 617-779-0985. This prompted two thoughts in my head. This play by Betts last night in Tampa, and if you haven't seen it, and you have, if you're a baseball fan, you have, because this wasn't about the Red Sox, this wasn't about the Rays, this wasn't about a playoff race, this was about a guy making an eye-popping play. And the throw in and of itself, I mean, Mookie threw it up in the air, but it was the sheer length of it. 300 feet to third base, 300 feet on the fly. He throws out Garcia, and the Red Sox lose the game, but the play highlighted the abilities of Mookie Betts. You know that he's a dynamic player. You know that he can save runs defensively and make plays that other guys just cannot make. Last night was one of them. Murray, if I said to you, what was the biggest highlight of this Red Sox season, what would you say?
Ugh.
Hard, right?
I guess that's...
Isn't that a hard question?
That sweep of the Yankees that they had here in the summer.
Near sweep.
Oh, that's right, the near sweep, because Chris Sale blew it on the Sunday. That's right.
Near sweep.
Yeah, that's probably about it.
Jimmy Stewart, do you have an opinion?
Is there a Betts or a Bogarts walk-off home run I can cue to?
Not that I remember.
Or a J.D. Martinez one?
Not that I remember.
Because that should be the answer, but I can't think of a specific date when one of those happened.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable that when you think about it, you say, look, that they had a disappointing year. They're going to finish with a winning record. Okay, now I hope they don't get more than 85, because I feel like 85 is sort of right still in that mediocrity range.
It's what they deserve.
Yeah, they deserve 85. They don't deserve any more than 85 wins. I agree, Murray. That's how I feel. And so I look at it and I say, all right, well, but they had 85 wins. What was the signature moment? What was the signature moment of this season? And you know what?
Not coming out of the gate ready to go after a world championship. That's the signature moment.
I mean, I would love for fans to tell me one or tell me many. I have no idea. I can't think of any at the moment.
What was yours off the air? Was Chris Sale pitching 2 hours and 16 minutes?
Well, you know what? No, Hardy said that to me today. Hardy said he remembered the Chris Sale game against the Astros. I mean, against the Angels, rather. And I remember that one, too. You know why? Because it was 2 hours and 16 minutes, and I was in the ballpark that day. It was the greatest day of my life. I got the only 216 game at Fenway this year.
Something else was up against it. Was it a Patriots preseason game?
Could be.
Because there was something else up against it. It was like figures. This was the one game that was actually probably the best of the year and the easiest to digest, and nobody saw the damn thing unless you were there like you.
So I would tell you that I'm with you, Murray. I think the season peaked when they won three in a row from the A's and they were 5-1 in that homestand. I think that's when it peaked.
Yeah.
And then they lost 8 in a row and it was over. It literally evaporated overnight. Think of that.
It's funny. You can think of not even just postseason, the Brandon Phillips game last year. There's a lot of memorable moments from last year's ridiculous run that they went on to, you know, ultimately 109 wins. But this year, no, there really isn't a signature moment.
Okay. So,
which is fitting. It's fitting for the season that they had.
Forgettable. It was an utterly forgettable season. I mean, really, when you think, I can't think of any. The one I came up with was what you said. I said that Yankee series. That was sort of the peak. They were playing well. They were 5-1 against Tampa, New York. They were going against Sale in the Sunday night game. Like, you know, there was the chance there to sweep the Yankees and all of a sudden just inject this bolt of lightning, this energy into the season, and it never came. Right? But that moment, going into that Sunday night game, that was the peak of their season. But I'm curious as to Red Sox fans. First of all, again, you tell me whether last night was the highlight of the season. It's hard to think about many Red Sox plays that were better than that one last night.
You want to get negative with it, though? The low light of the season? How they immediately performed after the trade deadline.
Oh, for sure.
That night and going on.
That 8-game losing streak. Ugh. Right? Perfect. They quit. They packed up. They quit. As soon as they went up against some real competition and faced a little bit of adversity, they completely caved in. So, and then last night, I think, also triggers a second discussion. And we've touched on this, but it's worth bringing up again now. It is September 24th. There are 6 games left in the season. These might be the final 6 of Mookie Betts' career with the Red Sox. As a Red Sox fan, are you okay with that? Given where they are, when you look at the landscape and you say, well, this team has holes. This team has issues in the rotation. This team has no money, and this team doesn't have a farm system. Mookie Betts has not signed here and appears to be headed for the free agent market. Are you okay with it if they trade him? When you weigh it all out, are you okay with these being the final 6 games of Mookie Betts' career with the Red Sox? Because that could be very well what you're watching here this week. And again, the team finishes at home over the weekend. They're in Texas tonight. They finish at home over the weekend, which means this weekend might be your final chance to see Mookie Betts play in a Red Sox uniform at Fenway Park. Have you given that any thought, or are you not really considering it? Do you think it's all just talk, or do you think there's a real chance he's gone? Because if you're asking me, I think this is it, and I've said that consistently. 617-779-0985. We'll get right to your phone calls. I want to get back to Theo Epstein, which we'll do in the next segment. We have Trivia Tuesday later in the show. So a lot to get to here on this Tuesday night as we enter the final days of the 2019 Boston baseball season. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Tony, thank you for taking the call. Speaking of arms, that really was an amazing play to watch last night. And to your point, a baseball fan as opposed to a Red Sox fan. Going to throw this on the table and would love to hear your best thinking on it. Given arms in the bullpen, specifically Price and Sale, what's the likelihood surgery is ahead of these guys, number one? And then number two, what's the likelihood they come back from surgery and can actually do something? And on that, I appreciate you taking the call, and I'll take the answer off there.
Yeah, Chris, I know you call a lot, so I appreciate your loyalty to the program. They've already announced that David Price is going to have surgery on his wrist to remove a cyst. In his wrist. Murray, has he actually already had it?
So this is from 2 days ago. We'll have surgery this Thursday to remove the cyst in his left wrist that ended his season.
Okay, so again, he hasn't had it yet, but he will. And then based on what I read earlier in the week, I'm just bad at remembering surgery dates. There is no indication that he'll have any difficulty getting ready for spring training. Okay, so Price will be ready for next year. And honestly, I'm not all that worried about Price. Now, the elbow, the age of Price, sure, you could have some concern there, but this injury does not concern me with David Price. I think Nathan Eovaldi will be better next year. I think Eddie Rodriguez will be worse. How much worse? I don't know, but he can't pitch much better than he pitched this year, I don't think. Chris Sale, to me, is headed for surgery. I think you're going to lose Sale for the season, and honestly, I think that's the best possible outcome. I just think if Sale comes back and tries to pitch with this thing, you know what you're going to have? A lesser Chris Sale. Just the way the Yankees have a lesser Masahiro Tanaka. So I don't believe that that's the way to go. Given that he's now starting a five-year contract, I would rather have Sale for four good years than five mediocre ones. And I'm not even sure you're going to get that if he skips the surgery. So you know what? Bite the bullet. Put Sale under the knife. Lose him for 2020. Have Price. Have Eovaldi. Have Eduardo Rodriguez. See where you go from there. Which really raises an interesting question about Mookie Betts. Murray, let me ask you and let me ask Jimmy Stewart, because to me these are connected. If David Price comes back and is healthy, if Eovaldi is what he has been over his career, okay, not this year and not in the World Series, if he has been over his career, and if Eduardo Rodriguez is a functional number three starter, can the Red Sox make the playoffs next year?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, by those parameters, yeah.
Okay, and does that affect your decision on Mookie Betts?
No. No, I think you still got to move on from him because you don't want to be here long
Jimmy Stewart?
Yes, they can make the playoffs. No, because Mookie Betts doesn't seem to want to be here, so I'm out on Mookie Betts.
Okay, and I'll tell you why I think it does affect the decision on Mookie Betts. I'll tell you why I think it does. If it were up to me, I would move on from Mookie. I don't think you can let a guy like that walk and get nothing for him. But if the Red Sox were to keep him, I'll tell you exactly why they would when we come back, and we'll get to your calls as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Okay, we'll get right back to your phone calls here. Ken, I know a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on your mind in the final week of the show here. Baseball reporters will end on Friday night, as I've noted before. We will continue the program in podcast form during the offseason, something we have not done in the past. And hopefully we'll start that right away. It's going to be sometime in the month of October, not exactly sure when. But during the off season, you will be able to get the baseball reporters in podcast form. You continue to listen to Matt McCarthy and Hardcore Baseball as well. And as always, the podcast of this show this week and beyond will be available on the usual places. You can download iTunes, et cetera, and at 98.5thesportshub.com. So we'll go back to your calls now. Mike's in Boston. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm pretty confident that Mookie's going to walk. I mean, last night, that's his highlight reel. He's looking for more money. He wouldn't sign previously.
So, Mike, he's not going to walk, right? I mean, he can't walk. He's eligible for free agency after next year. The question is whether or not they would trade him.
Well, hopefully they're they stay above water and do something fast. I mean, I think he's... He does probably doesn't want to stay.
Okay, so look, I don't think he wants to stay either. When you make repeated attempts to sign a guy and he resists and he keeps talking about free agency and the business of the game and how it's important to him, he's not giving you any advantage over anybody else in the open market. And in fact, I would argue that he's giving you less of a chance. Typically, the guys that want to stay sign, they get something close to what they want and they stay. Chris Sale wanted to stay. It was a mistake for the Red Sox to give him that money, but he wanted to stay. Xander Bogaerts wanted to stay. That's why he re-upped. I don't think Betts wants to be here. So I asked Jim Murray and I asked Jimmy Stewart right before the break, is there any scenario which you could see justify the Red Sox keeping Mookie Betts? And there is one scenario. I mean, to me, and it comes down to how what Red Sox ownership thinks. We had Alex Speer on the program at the end of last week. He said that he thinks the only thing Alex Speer would commit to is that they are going to explore a trade for Mookie. So here's my feeling. I think the Red Sox next year are going to have a bit of a transitional year. They're going to have a new GM. They're going to have some injuries in the pitching staff because I don't think Chris Sale is going to be ready to go. That's just my two cents. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he comes back looking like the Chris Sale in his peak years. But it feels to me like he's got a bad elbow. When I add all of that stuff together, along with the fact that they want to trim the payroll and that they need at least another starter, maybe one or two relievers, a first baseman and a second baseman, I add all that up and say you're not going to beat Houston, you're not going to beat New York and win the World Series. Those teams are better than you. So I would bite the bullet and trade Mookie. Now, you're going to say, well, you're giving up on the season. And I'm saying, no, I'm playing the odds. Hopefully, if you keep J.D. Martinez, your lineup will still be good enough without Mookie. And you'll be able to contend for a playoff spot, and maybe you get lucky. But the reason to keep him is if you think you can win a world title next year, and Mookie can be a big part of that, well, then you keep him. You don't trade him. I just think that the Red Sox are looking at, I don't want to call it a rebuild because that's too strong a word, but I think they're looking at a bridge year, to use a what might as well be a four-letter word in this market. Dan's in Cranston. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, three things real quick. So if Betts even wanted to stay, I don't think he can. I mean, you can't have three guys between Sale, Price, and Betts making $100 million. That's what you're looking at if you sign the guy.
Correct.
So, and what the Patriots can't do with receivers, the Red Sox can't do with young starting pitching. They need, more than anything, young, promising, cost-controlled pitching. And Betts is the only chip they really have to get some.
So, yeah, so
they don't have a choice.
Dan, I tend to agree with you. I think they're backed into a corner. That they need an influx of talent, young talent, affordable, cost-controlled talent. However good it is, they need functional big-league talent. So ideally for Mookie, you'd love to get a superstar. You're not going to get that. Paul Goldschmidt, and this is we talked about this last night on NBC Sports Boston. When Goldschmidt went from the Diamondbacks to the Cardinals, it was for a package of three prospects plus a pick. One was a pitcher who was taken in the first round that really hadn't fulfilled expectations, but nonetheless a unique arm talent. Another was a catcher. I can't remember his name. Is it Young or Kelly?
Carson Kelly.
Kelly. Young's the Young's the infielder. Kelly, I think, has almost 20 home runs with the Diamondbacks this year. And the other kid's an infielder who's still in the minors. I don't remember what they took with the draft pick. But if you end up, you know, with a couple of good prospects out of that, not great prospects, good prospects, you've got to make that deal. I think that that's ultimately what the Red Sox are going to settle on. John is in Providence on Mookie. Go ahead, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking the ball, Mass. I've been listening to you for about 2 years now, and I agree with you a lot of things. The only thing I don't agree, though, is Mookie Betts is your Derek Jeter. He is the man. He makes that game happen. I've been to many games this year with a lot of different people, and I spent a lot of money watching that team this year and go to a lot of games, always in field box 34, 36. And I'll tell you, every time I see Betts play, he gives you everything he's got. He is your Derek Jeter. He's your Tom Brady. I'm telling you, he has got that team. Everybody loves that guy. Every time I'm in the stands, people love that guy. He makes that game come alive.
So John, I'm going to cut you off only because I want to get to some other people as well. And there are a lot of people that feel like you do, and you're not wrong to feel that way. But if he doesn't want to be here, you have to make a call. You have to make a call. If he doesn't want to sign, you have to make a call. Do you keep him and try to win a title? Or do you trade him because you think you're going to take a step back next year anyway, and the situation is what it is? For once, I would like the Red Sox to be out in front of it and ahead of it. Like, to me, that is a critical thing. And so, see, people think I don't like Mookie as a player because I'm just not as enamored with him as you are. I think Mookie's a little overrated, a little, but he's a great player. I just think that he doesn't want to be here. And if he doesn't want to be here, you have to make the call. And I would rather take control of it and trade him than let him walk and get nothing in return. The other option is you keep him and then trade him at the deadline if you're out of it the way that the Orioles did with Manny Machado. I think you're better off moving him now because you'll get more for him, and it's an easier deal to make in the offseason. Ryan's in a car. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys, two quick stories or memories on Mookie Betts. A fun slash neat one a couple weeks ago when he had the three bombs, first at-bat, first pitch, and then back-to-back-to-back home runs.
It's a good one.
And then the memorable one might have been last season, but that 16 or 17 pitch at-bat with a grand slam to finish it when he freaked out and almost fell over running to first, that was memorable. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so look, last year, again, that's one that sticks out to everybody, but obviously we're talking about 2019. Mookie's, the night where he threatened four home runs, that was a good one. I'll give you that one. I remember that night. And that was one of those where, look, Mookie gets into those grooves where all of a sudden everything's going out of the ballpark. He had three home runs in five innings that night, I think, maybe four innings. And it was, uh-oh, he's got a shot. He's got a legit shot. Didn't happen, but that was a fun night. Tom's in Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
So I'd love to see them sign Mookie. I don't think he helped himself this season with the season that he had. And I just, for an MVP, I don't see him getting like Mike Trout money. Two other things real quick. Highlight of the season, I think, was actually off the field. I think signing Bogarts was huge. I love Bogarts. He really came out of his shell this year. And then last, I'm still mad about my third Trivia Tuesday question, the Colorado pitcher, starting pitcher. You gave me, I was supposed to know a rookie making his first start.
Tom, all you had to do was go online and look at the matchups. I mean, if you're a real fan, you know what the pitching matchups are for a whole series. I'm not trying to dump on you. But typically, any series, you look and see what the three matchups are going in. That's what you do. I don't think that question was out of line at all. Call again tonight. Maybe you have another chance to win. Again, we'll do Trivia Tuesday here a little bit later on. One of the questions we've tossed around in the GM search, by the way, concerns Theo Epstein and whether or not he'd be willing to come back to the Red Sox. I have my doubts. But, you know, I forgot about this. Jimmy Stewart looked it up. We had Theo on the show 2 years ago, right? It was the middle of the 2017 season.
That's correct.
After the Cubs had won the World Series, the Cubs came into Boston that year. We had Theo on the program. I think that's the last time we spoke with him. And little did I know or remember that we actually asked him whether he would ever come back. We'll tell you what Theo said. In fact, we'll play it for you after Murray gets you caught up in headlines.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We have the Sox. The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can you ever envision a scenario in which you end up back in Boston? and I ask you that only because you're from here. If you were from Sacramento, nobody would care. But, you know, you played a big role in the history of the franchise here, grew up here. And so, there, I don't know, call me a sucker for the sentimental story, but there is sort of a, you know, boy, it would be nice if he could end up back here.
In the spirit of mindfulness and living in the moment, I think that's a tough question to answer. You know, I was looking so far down the road, but look, I love Boston. I always feel a special connection to the Red Sox, and that's home. But Chicago's home now too, and I could not be happier here. And we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into building this organization. A lot of people made a lot of sacrifices to get to this point, and we still have a lot of work to do to try to maximize this window and this group of players. I'm having a blast here, so I look no farther than maybe I'll look ahead a little bit, and I'm looking forward to this weekend series at Fenway Park. See a lot of old friends, two classic teams going up against each other in an incredible ballpark that I consider home. So I'm looking forward to that and won't think much beyond that.
That was from a couple of years ago. Theo Epstein on this program. No surprise, he wouldn't engage. But remember, in the summer of 2017, the Cubs were coming off a World Series. Theo was very happy there. The Cubs thought there were more titles coming. Remember, the Red Sox won in 04. They won again in 07. And Theo took them to the playoffs 1 year in between. They went back to the LCS in 08, came 7. So in a five-year span, they went to three league championship series. They won two World Series and went to the playoffs four times. It's a good run. The Cubs, since that title, have been among the biggest failures in baseball. Third year in a row here that they will not win it, and they're going to miss the playoffs this year. So things are changing in Chicago, and I still question whether Theo would come back. I think for whatever reason, I read you that story yesterday with the anonymous comment from an executive talking about the state of the Red Sox front office. I'm convinced that executive was either Theo, Jed Hoyer, or someone in their circle in Chicago, which really dumped on the Red Sox for firing Cherington and then Dave Dombrowski within years or months after winning a World Series. Since when Theo cares about Dave Dombrowski, I have no idea. But anyway, it tells me that there's still just a level of resentment there towards ownership. So would Theo come back? I don't know. Jimmy, was there something out on Twitter today, or was someone speculating that Theo was in town?
Yeah, so actually it was Lou Maloney. Let me see if I can find it real quick so I don't butcher this. Unless you already have it in front of you.
No, I don't have it in front of me, but someone was saying Theo was in town over the weekend.
So apparently he said today on his show, I had someone tell me that Theo was in town Sunday night.
Okay. I mean, I should know this. The Cardinals played, didn't the Cubs play the Cardinals over the weekend?
That is true.
Where were the games? I've completely disconnected from the National League race, by the way. But if I would think with the season on the line that Theo would have been with his own team.
They were in Chicago.
Okay, I would think Theo would have been with his own team. Now, you know, again, doesn't mean he couldn't have been here.
His family here, right?
Yeah, was Pearl Jam in town? That might answer the question for us.
I know. Oh. I was thinking about that.
Okay.
The Who was at Fenway recently, weren't they?
So look,
a couple of weeks ago,
I rule out nothing. Okay, I rule out nothing. I would love to see Theo come back and run the Red Sox. I also think this, whatever little spitting match he still has with the team, if he has it, dude, get over it. Get over it. It was 8 years ago. Okay, it was 8 years. So get over it.
Thank God Sam Kennedy's here. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the four World Series.
I mean, Matt's in a car. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. So I was thinking about with Mookie and the new GM coming in, you know, the kind of position he's going to be in. So aside from the fact they'll be inheriting a team that won the World Series 2 years ago and then didn't make it this year, you know, what kind of pressure is he going to be under either to make a deal with Betts? I mean, I don't know. Do you, in your opinion, Tony, do you feel like ownership is going to put that onus on the incoming GM to make it happen? Or is this going to be a case of maybe, do you think that'll play a role on the hiring of the GM, someone who they think could maybe make it happen?
Okay, so I think that I think it plays a role in the hiring of the GM from this standpoint. Whoever's coming in has to execute the trade. Whoever's coming in has to be able to identify the talent in the other organization to get the right return for Mookie. If it was about signing Mookie, I think Dombrowski would still be here. Dombrowski would give Mookie whatever he wants. He'd give him a pile of money. That's typically what Dombrowski does. The fact that Dombrowski's not here suggests to me that they want someone who's better at identifying talent and making trades. That's what they want. And so I think I think one of the big reasons you hire a new guy is to make that deal. That's a big move. That is a big, big move that can really put your franchise in the right direction if you get the trade right. Frank's in a car. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Tony, first off, I wanted to answer your question about Mookie Betts. Whether he wants to stay here or not, he doesn't command $35-plus million a year, given that he had one MVP season with two good but not great seasons around that. So that's how I feel there. But one other thing I wanted to ask you was, if it is a bridge year next year, why not sell high on Eduardo Rodriguez and try to do both of them and get and really replenish the farm system?
Okay, because the obvious answer to that, Frank, and sorry to let you go, is that you have Eduardo Rodriguez for three more years. So and at a relatively affordable number, at least in the short term. So you have no young pitching. You have none. And you're going to trade away the one young guy you do? Now, look, again, the value's high, so you make a good point. And maybe they will look into it. I think to me that that is a, that's a hard one to pull. You need to add to Rodriguez. That's the way I look at it. So you trade Mookie, you try to put another young starter around Erod, and you see where you go from there. And to me, that, that one has a possibility. Okay. As you know, Trivia Tuesday, this is our final one. Okay. So we only have three people entered in the drawing for the trip to the Aruba tonight. You could be the fourth. First five callers to the regular show line, 617-779-0985. You'll have a chance to participate. If you can answer three questions correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans, and you'll automatically be entered for a three-night stay, for a drawing for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. Okay, and also our thanks to the Pride Motor Group for sponsoring the contest line. Apparently, we're having some issues with the contest line, so just call the regular number, 617-779-0985. Trivia Tuesday is next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Trivia Reporters. Tuesday. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti. All right, here we go. Final time in 2019. Murray gets geeked up for this, his favorite segment of the week.
I still get excited with that intro, too.
Oh, yeah, no, you're doing, Murray. Murray does all the creative stuff on the Felger and Mass Show and obviously on the Baseball Reporters. I don't have a creative. There you go. Correct answer. I don't have a creative bone in my body. So by now, everybody knows the drill. That is the sound you'll hear. That buzzer is the sound you'll hear in the event of an incorrect answer. Again, Jimmy. And in the event of a correct answer, you get this one. Okay, so there you go. Again, at a minimum tonight, if you get it right, three questions right, you'll get a $100 gift card to Aruba. A $100 gift card to Bertucci's.
There you go.
You will be entered into a drawing for a trip to Aruba. Three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, and travel courtesy of JetBlue. That's a good one. Three people in the drawing right now, you would be the fourth. Okay, now, before we begin, I want to tell you all this up front. Tonight's final installment of Trivia Tuesday includes some audio clues. And again, the general theme is Red Sox heartbreak. Sort of bad moments or heartbreaking moments in Red Sox history. Some are on the field, some are off the field. I would tell you in the audio clues, which will be the first clue given to each of the five participants, if we get that far, just listen closely, okay? Listen closely to the audio clue. Not always, but sometimes the answer is inside the clue itself.
It's already a big ask.
Okay? It is a big ask. I agree, Murray. Like, the idea of people actually listening is a struggle. But you get the idea, okay? So, our first caller tonight is Jay, who's in Grafton. Jay, you there?
Absolutely. Ready to go, Matt.
Okay, here is your audio clue. Jimmy, played TBR 1, if you would, please.
Boston Red Sox, the fans through New England. I'll tell you, they were five outs away in the eighth inning, leading by three. As Bowman gets it to deep left, that might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Okay. Aaron Boone hits a home run to beat the Red Sox in Game 7. That was in the 2003 American League Championship Series. Who gave up the homer?
Tim Wakefield.
Tim Wakefield is correct. Good job. There you go. Okay. Your next question. In August 1967, Red Sox outfielder Tony Conigliaro was hit in the face with a pitch thrown by Angels pitcher Jack Hamilton ending his season and forever altering his career and his life. What number did Canigliaro wear?
Twenty-five
is correct. Good job. I was going to say you should know that. You should know that. That's not a, you know, that's not minutia.
I thought only Steve Buckley knew that.
I mean, that one's been written about and talked about so many freaking times. All right, I'm going to give you a tough one. How old are you, Jay?
I'm 33.
Okay. In 1991, the Red Sox were on the verge of a tremendous comeback in the American League East race when Jeff Reardon, the closer, blew a game against the Yankees at Fenway Park, allowing a game-winning home run to this New York Yankees outfielder. Who was he?
1991. Paul O'Neill?
Paul O'Neill is an excellent guess, but is incorrect. In fact, this guy was subsequently traded for Paul O'Neill. He was traded to the Reds for Paul O'Neill. Does anybody know?
Jay Buhner?
No.
It was Roberto Kelly.
Roberto Kelly. Very good, Jimmy Stewart.
This
very
was my good. First traumatic Red Sox experience in 1991.
That was Jimmy's question, Jay, so you can blame him. Steve's in Rhode Island. He's our second participant tonight. Steve, you there?
I am, Matt.
Okay, Jimmy, play number two, please.
Adino to left field, and comes Crawford. Can't make the catch. He pops off the throw. The plate is going to be off the mark, and the Orioles walk off at the win. The Red Sox lose in a crucial 162nd game of the year.
Okay, final game of the 2011 season. The Red Sox lose at Baltimore. Carl Crawford can't handle a line drive into left field. Jonathan Papelbaum is on the mound. Who is the announcer?
Gary Thorne?
Gary Thorne is incorrect. Incorrect. Jimmy, you want to go?
Don Orsillo.
It was D.O. I thought that was an easy one.
Play that again. I guess I...
Jimmy, go ahead, you can play it again if you want.
Adino to left field, and comes Crawford. Can't make the catch. He pops off the throw. The plate is going to be off the mark, and the Orioles walk off at the win. The Red Sox lose in a crucial 162nd game of the year.
Okay, it was D.O.
I guess. I mean, it's definitely him, but it just sounds different. It's like Beatles UMass call. You could kind of hear that it's like a young Beatle, but it just sounds so different.
That was a young D.O. There you go.
Yeah.
Ryan in Connecticut, you're our third caller. You there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. Okay, Jimmy, play number three.
And Terry Cooney arguing with Tony Pena, and Joe Morgan gets into the fray now. You don't often see a manager get thrown in a playoff or a series. Weaver has, Earl Weaver in the past. I thought that possibly it was a balk call, and Cooney came from behind home plate. I mean, Morgan is livid, and I'm wondering whether he's ejected Clemens.
Roger Clemens ejected from Game 4 of the American League Championship Series against the Oakland A's in 1990. Game took place in Oakland. The umpire was referenced twice during that cut. Who is the umpire?
I couldn't really hear that. Joe West.
Joe West is incorrect.
That's literally who I had racked up in my brain to like mock.
Oh, my God. They said the guy's name twice, as clear as day.
And Terry Cooney.
Thank you. Terry Cooney. It's the first name you heard in the cut, and he said it.
And Terry Cooney.
And they say it again later. Cooney comes out from behind the plate. Jake and Natick. Jake, you there?
I'm there.
Okay. Jimmy, play number four.
Stretch by Torres. The set, the kick, and the pitch. Hit deep to left field. This one may be off the wall, maybe in the screen.
Okay, so Bucky Dent's home run against the Red Sox in the famous one-game playoff in 1978. You heard the name of the Red Sox pitcher at the beginning of the cut who allowed the home run. Who was the Red Sox pitcher?
Torres,
very good, Jake. That a boy. How to pay attention. Mike Torres, exactly. He was the guy. Okay, number two, let's see how old are you, Jake?
32.
Okay, let's see what kind of Red Sox fan you really are.
Oh, man.
Okay. Listen closely. Again, listen closely to the clue. In 2007, This Red Sox right-hander and current Hall of Fame candidate lost a no-hitter with two outs in the ninth inning of a game at Oakland when, for the first time all day, he shook off the sign put down by catcher Jason Veritek. Who was the pitcher?
2007. Curt Schilling?
Curt Schilling is correct. Very good. Which should have given it away as current Hall of Fame candidate. If you guess Pedro, I was going to give you a dope slap. Oh,
no,
I was waiting for
gave it away.
Yeah, I thought you were going to screw that one up.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to give you this one because I think it's a little easier and I want you to win.
Thanks, man.
Okay. In, let me find it again. In 2001, okay, this former right-hander for the Mets, Blue Jays, and Yankees pitched his best game as a member of the Red Sox. He spent one year in Boston. He pitched his best game on this night in 2001, only to be out-dueled by eventual Hall of Famer Mike Mussina, who beat him 1-0 and lost a perfect game in the ninth inning. Mussina was about to pitch a perfect game, and the perfect game got broken up.
By Carl Everett.
Correct, by Everett. So the question is, though, who was the pitcher for the Red Sox that night who opposed Mussina? And I'll read it to you again.
Yeah, thanks.
Former right-hander for the Mets, Blue Jays, and Yankees, who pitched?
David Cone.
David Cone is correct. There you go. There you go, Jake. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll enter you into the drawing later this week. So he wins it. There
also very fair that you didn't ask that first name of Torres. He just took Torres because you don't want to confuse him with Tico Torres, drummer and percussionist for Bon Jovi, Low Ball 2.
Correct.
Of course, no relation to Gleyber Torres, as far as I know.
So there we go. We have four winners. We'll have the drawing for the trip to Aruba later in the week. We'll announce a winner Friday on the Baseball Reporters.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.